Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma, Daf Tzadik Ches, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Zayin on the base, 6 lines from the bottom. Baimene Rava Rav Chizda. Rav asked Rav Chizda the following question. Hamavas Chaver Amatbeya. If somebody lends money from someone else, and they made up that they would pay with a certain amount of coins. In other words, if someone borrowed from someone else, let's say 10 zuzim, 10 sloim, and then they made up that that would be what he would return for a seful of. And then they changed the value of these of this currency, mahu. And as we need to understand, currency operated somewhat differently in the times of Chazal than it does now. In the times of Chazal, currency had its own inherent value. That means if you had a zuz or a seller, it represented a certain amount of silver. On top of that, there was also a stamp on the coin, which we'll discuss later in Mitzvah Shem in the Shir. And the Gemara's question here is, would they change the value of the coins? In other words, they put more silver into each coin. What is the halacha? The Rishonim also debate, according to whom is this question asked. Certainly they say it follows the opinion of Rav, whose opinion we discussed in the previous year, where Rav said that if a coin was disqualified, even if though that was the coin that was used to conduct the loan, you have to pay back with the coin that's currently in use. But many Rishonim and Achronim explain that the question of the Gemara is even according to the opinion of Shmuel, who Shmuel feels, as we learned in the previous year, that if the coin is usable anywhere, it still can be used to pay back the debt. Here, however, they explain, since they changed this coin for everyone, so the coin is not usable, and in such circumstances, even Shmuel would agree that you can't use such a coin. So the question here is, would they change the value of the coin, they added to it, what would be the din? Amaloi, so he responded, obviously, we should use the coin that's currently in currency. Amaloi, vafilu kanafya, is this true even when the coin is so large as a sieve? That means the new coin is so much significantly larger than the old coin. Amalei in, yes. Amalei afil ketratya, is this true even with so big as a measuring cup, size of a quarter of a kav larger? Amalei in, yes. This halacha applies under all circumstances. So he asked him for kazilim peri, but the produce is cheaper. And knows what the question is: isn't this a situation of ribis? By now giving a bigger coin, you end up getting more for your money. And isn't this a situation of ribis that should be usur? Amar Vashi, says Vashi Chazinan. We have to analyze the situation. Im machmas tivazil, if indeed the reason you could buy more with the new coins than you were able to buy with the old coins is because of the value of the coin going up, menakinon, then actually everybody would agree that we can't use the old coin. However, the machmas tarazil, sometimes the situation is a situation where it's the value of the produce that goes down. And since the value of the produce went down, that's why you could buy more for the money. Therefore, loyman kinale, we don't have to take that into account, and we could use the new coin. And as the Mefarshim explained, this is certainly not a situation of ribis gomer. Ribis gomer means that I lent you money, I lent you $100, with the expectation that you'll pay me back $110. That is the only situation of ribis deraisa. Here we're dealing with a situation, however, where it's a coin that changed afterwards. So it's only Mexic ribis. So in a situation where it's clear and obvious that it's because of the change a value of the coin that I could get more with this money, so therefore it's mechzik ribis and it's osur. But if it's a situation where people will attribute it for other reasons, the price of commodities, for example, as the Gemara says, goes down, coupled with the fact that it's not ribis d'oraisa, the halacha will be that we could, it can be paid back with a new coin. Ask the Gemara, still, for kashvach l'nyanascha, the new coin is more valuable than the old coin. And if the new coin is more valuable than the old coin, the halacha should be that you cannot use it to pay back. It should be a situation of ribis. And it says the Gemara, El Kihar, the Rav Papa, Rav Huna B'Reid of Yeshua, Avdi Uvda, they once paskin, Bezuzi Dangand Mitaya, to just the difference on the basis of the Zuzim of Agand Mitaya, at a Sarbatamya. Then there was a difference of 10 to 8. That means if the coin goes up in value from 8 to 10, which in halachic calculations is a 25% difference, when there's such a difference in the coins, then the halacha is that you can't pay back with a new coin. However, if the coin, if the difference is less than 25%, you can pay back with the new coin. Why does 25 make, why is the number, what's the significance of 25%? So the Rishonim give a number pshatim. One pshat, going back to what we said at the beginning of the shir, is that given that the coins have inherent value, so every coin is really different. Because every coin, we have to look at the amount of silver there actually is in the coin. And therefore, they were never really 100% consistent. So if the difference between the coins is less than 25%, that's to be considered a normal inconsistency and should not make a difference. If, however, the difference is greater than 25%, then it's something to take into consideration and you can't pay with the new coins. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that making the new coins also involves expense. So if it's less than a 25% difference, the old coin may be just as good as the new coin because you don't have to add all the expense involved in making the new coin. If it's more than 25%, it's worth the difference. Now, the Rishonim also discuss. Al Gemara discussed the situation. What will be the halacha if the new coins are greater in value than the old coins? What will be the halacha in just the opposite situation, where they devalue the coins, and the new coins are worth less than the old coins? The Rif and the Rambam say that the same din that Al Gemara suggests would apply in either direction, whether they make the coins more valuable or less valuable. The Ravid, however, says that it's only Al Gemara is only referring to a situation where they made the coins more valuable, because there is a concern of ribis. When they made them less valuable, so there's no such concern of ribis, and there the halacha is that you have to pay the, what he called, you could pay with the new coins. The question that also comes up is not that the Gemara said that that if there's a difference of 25%, then you can't pay with the new coins, but if there's less than a difference of 25%, you could pay with the old coins. So what will be the adocha, halacha, if they added with more than 25%? So what do we have to deduct? Do we deduct that once we're not able to use the new, we have to take in consideration that the new coins are worth so much more than the old coins. We have to take that entire increase into consideration, given that we have an increase of more than 25%. But the Chazon Ish suggests that perhaps, since up to 25%, the Gemara said we were willing to accept the discrepancy. So if there's a discrepancy of greater than 25%, it's only the amount that's more than 25% that we take into consideration, not the whole difference in value. Amar Rabba, Hazarik Matbei Shel Chaver El Yam HaGadol. If somebody throws somebody else's coin into the Yam HaGadol, the halacha is that he's potter. He's not chayef for being mazik. My tama, what's the reason? Amr, because the person who threw the coin in could say Hamanach Kamach, the coin is here, Iboy Shakli, if you want you could take it, and therefore he's not going to be held responsible. However, says the Gemara, V'hanimili, when will this din be applicable, but slulin the kochazilei? Only if the coin was thrown into clear water where the coin is visible and retrievable. Ava kurin the like kochazilei, but if it was thrown in to murky water where it's not visible, loy. And as most Rishonim explain, Taisus, it's not the point that it being clear water versus murky water. Rather, the issue is the coin retrievable or is it not retrievable? If it's retrievable, having the diver go in and get the coin, then he's not going to be responsible. If it's irretrievable, because you can't get it, even a diver cannot get it, then he's going to be chayiv. The choice, however, quotes other Rishonim who say that the Gemara should be taken literally, and it makes a difference if it's retrievable, if it's clear or murky water. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out, who would be the one responsible to pay for the diver that's going to dive to get the water? So the Rishonim suggest that's the owner of the coin, because although the Mazik caused this to happen, still, it's only as far as the payment for the diver, a situation of Grumma ben Nezikin. And whenever we have a situation of Grumma ben Nezikin, the Mazik is not Chayiv, at least B'day Adam, to pay for those damages. And in fact, I saw that this question comes up La'aloch L'maisa. There was a situation, there were two partners in a business, and one partner was concerned that the other partner was stealing, was cheating. So he hired a private investigator to determine what was going on. And he indeed discovered that the other partner was cheating. So the partner that was swindled took his other partner to the Torah, and the partnership was dissolved. He had to pay back what he took from him. And the question came up, does the partner who acted inappropriately have to pay for the private investigator? And based on our Gemara, we see that even though he did something wrong, it's only a grum of a nezakin, and he doesn't have to carry the responsibility of paying for the private investigator. Continues the Gemara, v'hanimili, when is this din applicable? The adyaduye, well, he only caused the coin to be knocked out of the hand of the person who was holding it and fall into the sea. Aval shakli biyode, if somebody will pick up the coin, and as Taisus and the Rishonim discuss, that he has to pick it up three tefachim, that it should be considered a kinyan. Aval shakli biyode, if he picks it up, migza gazle, he's considered a gazlin, and as we've learned, a gazlin has to return the item. Hashava by mevid, and he can't just go tell him, go get a diver to pick up your coin. Masav rava, ask Rava, how can we suggest that something that's thrown into the yam is not considered lost? As we discussed in the previous year, the loch is the maisa sheni produce could be redeemed on money. However, says the Braisa, Eimachalin Amosh and Brishusoi, you can't use money that's not available to you. Kaitzit, Hailai Mos Bakastra. If somebody had money in Kastra, the Rishonim say that Kastra was a place that people was far away and people didn't travel there or was dangerous to travel there. I saw an interesting pshat from Yaakov Emden. He says that Kastra was like the first bank where you couldn't get money out of, where the bank was in a safe where it wasn't retrievable. Oy, shenafal kisel yom agadol. Even if the offer fell into the yom agadol, the halacha is ein mechalim. You can't redeem on that money. So we see that money that's not accessible is considered lost. Ask Rabbi Chanan, why don't we say that the Brice is referring to a situation that it fell into the yom agadol in a way that divers cannot retrieve it? Were there, even according to the previous Gemara, if it's not retrievable, it's not considered here? Answers Rabbi Chanan. that that's obviously not the case of the Braisa. Because if the money is so irretrievable, we don't need a Braisa to tell us that you can't use that money to redeem Maisa Sheni. It must be that it's retrievable. And yet, the Braisa is saying it's not considered lost. I'm a rabbi, and it says, Rabbi Shani Lin Yemaisa. Regarding Maisa, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk requires Matze B'yotcha, money that's accessible. The Rachmana Omer, as the Torah says, V'tzarta Kasa B'yotcha, that the money should be accessible to you, V'leka, and it's not when it's in these places. In other words, there are different dinim that were said for money regarding redeeming Maisa Sheni versus other areas of halacha. V'amar Rabbah. And again, we repeat what we said at the beginning of the shiur. In those days, money had an intrinsic inherent value to it, and on top of the inherent value it had to it, it also had a stamp on it. V'amar Rabbah. Hashaf matbei shel chaveroi. If somebody just takes off the stamp off somebody else's coin, but he doesn't take off the actual value of the coin, Potter, he's not considered a mazik. My tama, the loy ovid v'loy midi. He really didn't do anything because the coin is still here, says the Gemara. V'hani mili, when was this said? The machi b'kornus of a tarshay, where he beat it with a hammer and it's smooth like a stone, but it's still here. Avos shayfe b'shufina. But let's say he filed down the coin, so it doesn't have the right amount of silver in it anymore. Chsuri chesrei, he diminished the amount of silver in it, and once he diminishes the amount of silver on it, he's responsible. Points out the Stipler that once he diminishes the value of the silver, of the amount of silver in it, it's not that he's going to have to pay back the owner of the coin, give him his diminished coin and the difference in the silver that was lost. Since he diminished the silver, he's considered a gazlan, and he has to return another coin that's a proper coin. Masav Rava asks Rava, how can we say that just hammering down a coin is not considered damage? We know, we've learned, that the Torah teaches us that if the owner of an Eved Kenani causes that his shein v'ayin should fall out, the Eved goes out free. So the Braisa says, he called Aino v'simoy, if he hit him on the eye and he became blind, al oznoy, or he hit him on the ear v'chershoy, and he made the Eved deaf, Eved yoytz ben l'cheres, then the Eved goes out free. However, k'neged Aino v'enaroya, if he only hit the wall and next to the eye, and because of the trauma, the eye became blind, or k'neged aznoi, he hit the wall next to where the Eved's ear was, and again because of the trauma, eino shmeya, that's not considered ein Eved yotz b'elcheres. Now in the first case, the eye is still here. The ear is still here. Just the person, unfortunately, the Eved Kenani can no longer hear. Why is it considered? If it was saying that if the actual item is still here, it's not considered mazik, why over here is it considered mazik? Ask Tosfos a different question. We've learned when we spoke about the din of shein v'ayin, the mum that the owner makes in the eved has to be noticeable. Here, it's not a noticeable mum. Answers Tosfos that a person who's never blind or a person who's never deaf is noticeable that he's different. And even though we don't see it, he may look like everybody else in terms of his physical attributes, he acts differently, and therefore it's considered a mum shebegoli. So the question here is, again, if, according to Rabba, why is this not considered a mum? Answers the Gemara, Rabba l'tamei, Dama Rabba, choshel aviv nerad. If somebody causes his father to become deaf, he's chayiv misa. Why? As we've learned, any chabura that somebody does to a parent of his, a chabura meaning that dam, that blood comes out, is considered a chabura for which there's a chiv misa. And here it's e'ef shel charisha b'lo chabura. It's impossible that there should be an act that caused him to become deaf that there was no chabura with it. There must have been an internal wound. The tips of the dama nafle b'unei. Some blood must have fallen into his ear. So that's why here it's not just considered something that doesn't change the item. The ever changed. Vamarava. Hatsayim oizen parasa shachaveri. If somebody nicks the ear of the cow of somebody else, potter. He's not chayiv to pay damages. My tama. The axe is as good as before. The light of Vlamidi. Nothing really of significance happened to the par. The only thing that happens to this par is that this par is no longer kosher to be used as a carbon because it's a balmum. The kulish farim lavel gabim mizbeach kaimi. But not all animals are anyway meant to be used as kabbonis. And since not all animals are meant to be used as kabbonis, so this is not considered an act of hezek. Of course, the Rishonim point out that that's only in a situation where the animal that he was mazik was not an animal that was already kadosh, that was already hegdish. If he was mazik an animal that's hegdish and make it into baal mum, then he would be chayif. Masav Rava, ask Rava, the halacha is, hoist malacha b'mei chattis or paras chattis, if somebody does malacha with the para aduma, or the mei chattis, which is the water which was used, that they mixed the ashes of the para aduma with mayim chayim, that the halacha is that that water, or that para, become then disqualified. There's a machlokes rishonim, when the mei chattis become disqualified for doing malacha with them. Tosfos says it's only before when you have the water before the ash was put into it. The Miri disagrees, and the Miri says it's only after the ashes were put into the water, because before that they really there's nothing special about that water. So that halacha is part of bedine adam v'chay bedine shmaim. It's not considered a discernible act of hezek, and therefore he's putting the Adam v'chay b'din ishmayim. But as we have explained many times, when the Gemara says, the Miri says this, when the Gemara says chay b'din ishmayim, what the Gemara means to say is that Bezdin can't extract payment, but he's certainly chayiv to pay for what he did. And the Miri goes on to say that until he pays, he would be apostle aid. Why? Because here it's referring to a situation where it's not obvious in the item that was damaged and that there was hezek here, which would seem to indicate that when one nicks the ear of an animal, that is, albeit not very significant, but it's minker hezika, it's certainly noticeable. Their halach is that you would be chayiv even b'dinei adam. So how does Rava say that you're not chayiv b'dinei adam? Amri answers the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Braisa. Rather, the way to understand the Braisa is who I did not feel tsarim potter, that even by tsarim one would be potter. So what is the Braisa teaching us? The filo melacha, the laminker ezeka, even in a situation of melacha where it's not noticeable the hezek that was done, still chayiv b'din ishmayim, one would be chayiv b'din ishmayim and not be totally innocent. V'amar Rabba, hasarif shtar shel chaveroi, if somebody burns somebody else's documents, he has a document that somebody owes him money, and he burns that document, the halacha is his potter. Domalei, nayre kali menach, all I burnt was a piece of paper. Ask the Gemara, maskol rami bachama, hechi domi, exactly what was the situation here that he burnt the document? Ida ikasadi, if there are edim, the yadi might have bishtara, that know exactly what was written into the shtar. So what's the problem? Lichtavlei shtar malya, let them write another shtar. So Rav Chanan asks, how can we have a situation where other Eidim will write the shtar? Won't it be a situation of Eid Mipi Eid? So Rav Chanan explains as follows. When is there a concern of Eid Mipi Eid? That if I myself did not see something, I just heard what happened from somebody else who saw what happened, I am not a qualified aid. That's called aid me p aid. But in a situation, says Rebbe Chanan, where we have a shtar that was mekuyim in Beis Din, and two edim come and say testimony that they saw that this shtar was mekuyim in Beis Din, it's as if they're saying testimony that they saw the halvah, and they're kosher edim because they're saying testimony that they saw a shtar mekuyim, is saying testimony to the actual act. So, if they're edim, what's signed? So let them write another shtar. If, on the other hand, there are no edim, what was written in the shtar, how can we write another shtar? We don't even know what to write in this other shtar. We don't know what it said, and there's nobody that we could ask. Answers the Gemara, Amarava Tehebim Aminai. The situation here is that the person who burnt the shtar trusts the individual holding the document that says that this is what the shtar said. And therefore the shtar could have theoretically been rewritten, yet the halacha is that it's not, because that you're not chayiv for the burning of the shtar. I saw interesting shayla from Yitzchak Zilberstein based on this Gemara. He says, what would be the halacha if there was a piece of meat that had on it a simen kashrus and had some sort of a tag or a plumber? The best example would be it had a plumber on it, and somebody went and destroyed the plumber. So how do we view this halacha? Do we say he destroyed the plumber? The plumber really doesn't have much value. Or do we say that since now this piece of meat can't be eaten, if it doesn't have a simen kashrus, the piece of meat can't be eaten, it should be considered as if he ruined the piece of meat. And he paskins that it's not the same as a shtar, because a shtar doesn't have any inherent value. It only represents a shtar, a document to say that this person lent money to this person. But in a situation of the plumber on the meat, that makes the meat edible. And without that plumber, you can't eat it. And therefore, he would be chayif for the value of the meat. Amar Rav Dima Mechanina, Hada Rava. This halacha that Rabbi said that one is not responsible for burning the shtar of somebody else, actually, he wants to suggest, is connected to the machloikis of Rav Shimon Rabbanihi that we discussed previously. We know that Rav Shimon holds Dova Agarim Lamamin Kamamin Dami. Where do we learn this? We learned the following situation. We know there are two ways that a person could donate a carbon: a neder or a nedava. A neder is harei zu, when somebody designates an animal as a carbon, he says harei zu. A nedava is when he says harei olai. The difference being that by a neder, if he designated an animal and something were to happen to that animal, he doesn't have to replace it. By a nedava, if something happens to the animal that was designated, he has to take another animal. Furthermore, the halacha is that let's say somebody designated this animal, and now somebody was mazik the animal. He stole the animal. So the question would be chayiv kefil, would he be chayiv arba v'chamisha? So the animal is hegdish. And as we've learned so many times, the issue of mazik is only by Re'ehu, not by Hegdish. So the question here is, says the Gemara, that according to Shimon, since the one that designated this animal as an adova is going to have to bring another animal, it's a situation of adova agarim l'mamin, and if Shimon holds adova agarim l'mamin, k'mamin dami. And therefore the Gemara wants to suggest, here too, by burning somebody else's shtar, it causes him that he won't be able to collect the chiyuv, and therefore it's considered he should be chayiv. Whereas l'rabbanon dami dovah garim l'mamin lav k'mamin dami, he won't be chayiv. Says the Gemara that connecting this shaila to that machloikis may not be correct. Maskulav Rav Huna b'Rei Rishua Eimah d'sham leil Rav Shimon dovah garim l'mamin k'mamin dami. Where did Rav Shimon say this concept? B'dovish ikramamin, only by something which is inherently money, has inherent value. K'derabba, damarabba, gazel chametz lefnei Pesach. If somebody stole chametz before Pesach, or ba'ach v'sarfa, and somebody else burns that chametz. B'mayid, if he burns that chametz on Yontif, on Pesach, he's potter. Machloikis achrayim, why? Some achrayim say, because every Jew has a responsibility to burn, to make sure that his fellow Jew is not over the aveira, or by raw by yamatzah, and therefore if he sees chametz by a Jew, he should burn it. At kol yisrael a ravim zelazeh. But there's another very interesting opinion that says that the issa of bayirah bayimotzah is even, I have the obligation to make sure that every chametz in the world that's owned by a Jew should be burnt, not because he shouldn't be over bayirah bayimotzah. I have to burn the chametz. I have an independent chiyuv to burn somebody else's chametz. It's actually the opinion of the Grod Tzlach. Everybody has to see that chametz be burnt. Lacha Pesach. But if he burnt the chametz after Pesach, it's a machloikus of Shimon Rabbanan. Lirav Shimon d'Amad Dovah Agarim L'Mamin K'Mamin D'Ami. According to the opinion of Shimon that says Dovah Agarim L'Mamin is K'Mamin Chayiv. Why? Because by me burning the chametz, so now he can't use that chametz to return it. And as we learned the other day in the Mishnah says that somebody who stole chametz after Pesach to give back that chametz, even though that chametz is os b'hanor, and say harei shochal fanecha. So by somebody burning that chametz that the gazlan could use to pay back, he's causing a loss, and therefore he's chayiv. Rabbanan dami dava garim lav k'mam dami potter. But when was that said regarding a tangible item, the chametz? However, bedava she'enik ramamin, in a situation where the thing doesn't have any inherent value, miyam rinan, where Rav Shimon say this halacha of dava agarim ramamin kamamin dami, and therefore the Gemara says that the question of burning a shtar is not connected to the question of dava agarim ramamin kamamin dami. However, says Omar Amemer, man the don dina de gami, the tana. The opinions that will hold that you chai when you're a garmi, then the halacha will be magnum de shtar malia. And as we have discussed and will continue to discuss, there's a concept of grama ben zokim, and there's a concept of garmi. Some rishonim actually suggest that there really is no difference between grama and garmi, and that what the Gemara is saying is that according to the opinion that you chai for grama ben zokim, you'll be chayiv in this, in the case of burning the shtar, because it's certainly grama ben zokim. And actually, as the Rishonim point out, this comment that the Gemara is making from our Maimer is not only relevant to this last din that we learned from Rabbah, it applies to all the dinim that we've learned today in our shiur from Rabbah, where people cause damage, where you threw the coin into the yam, where you took off the stamp from the coin. All of these are situations of grama or garmi, and the Gemara is suggesting that if you hold yechayiv by garmi, all of these cases the din will be not like Rava said, but rather you'll be chayiv. However, most Rishonim suggest that grama and garmi are not exactly the same, and there are various different opinions what differentiates grama from garmi. Some say that grama is not for sure that the damage will happen, versus garmi, where it's bari hazeka, it's positive or it's quite certain that the damage will happen. Another suggestion that they want to differentiate between grama and garmi is that grama has a delayed reaction to what happened, whereas by garmi the damage happens immediately. Another nafkamina between grama and garmi is that grama, the damage isn't done to the actual item that's affected. As we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, one of the first examples we encountered regarding grama ben zokin was where somebody threw down an object from a higher story to the floor, but when he threw down that object, there were pillows and mattresses on the floor that the object would fall on and not break. And now someone came along and pulled away those pillows and blankets. So the person who pulled away the pillows and blankets has not actually done anything with the object that gets damaged. He caused the object to get damaged, but he hasn't actually touched that object. Whereas in Garmi, even if it's a situation that he caused the damage, but what he did was to the object itself versus to something else. So says the Maimer again, man the don din de Garmi, somebody, if you hold that Garmi is chayiv, magbebei meishtar ma'alya, you have to pay the entire value of the loan document because he caused the loan to get lost. The Rishonim, however, make an interesting point. They say that if this was a type of a loan that could not have been collected anyway, let's say we are certain that this loan could not have been collected, then he would not be chayiv. However, man the loy don dain the gami, the one that doesn't follow and holds you not chayiv by gami, then for burning the shtar, only magbibe day then they nari ba alma as much as the piece of paper is worth. Says the Gemara, Hava Uvda, there was an incident. The Kafya Rafram Rav Ashi, and Rav Afram forced Rav Ashi, Vagbe Kshur Latzalma, where Rav Ashi ostensibly burnt the document of someone else, and he made him pay with his best beams. There were certain beams that were the high quality beams. Those were the beams that were used as moldings on which they made different engravings. And he made him pay with those high quality beams because he considered him a full-fledged mazik. The Rashi and the Rish, and many other Mefarshim have a very hard time with this Gemara. Because the Gemara seems to say that Rav Ashi burned somebody else's document. How can we say that the great Rav Ashi burned someone else's document? The Shita, because of that question, says what the Gemara here doesn't mean to say there was actually Rav Ashi burning someone else's document. What it meant was, says the Shita, that such a din Torah came to Rav Ashi, and Rafram forced Rav Ashi to consider it a full-fledged case of hezek. But Rashi, because of this question, has a different pshat, and Rashi says that Rav Ashi did this damage when he was a cotton, and therefore he wasn't yet this great Rav Ashi. And now Rafram forced Rav Ashi, when he became a gadol, to pay for the damages out of his beams. Which is an interesting psak in itself, because we learned earlier in our Masechta that a katan shehizik, if somebody was a katan when he did damage, he's potter. So here Rashi seems to be saying that somebody's chayiv for damages and for hezek that he did even as a cotton. A very interesting pshat. Others want to say that Rashi doesn't mean that he was actually, Rav Ashi was actually a cotton, because the halacha certainly is that someone, that a cotton shehigdol, he's potter for what he did as a cotton. What the Gemara he means to say the Mefarshim is that Rav Ashi did this when he was a young person, but he was above the age of bar mitzvah. Whereas others say that that's exactly what happened. It happened while Rav Ashi was a cotton, and from here we see that a cotton will be responsible for what he does, for what he did as a cotton after he becomes a gadol. Chametz v'aval of a Pesach, as we quoted earlier, if somebody stole somebody else's chametz, and now it's after Pesach, the gazlan could give back the chametz by saying, Harei Shalcha lefanecha, I'm giving you back what I stole. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana, who is the Tana that says Oymer b'Yisurei Anor, that even by Yisurei Anor we say Harei Shalcha lefanecha? Rav Chisda, it represents Rav Yaakov. It represents the opinion of Rav Yaakov. The Tanya Shor Shehemis, if a Shor killed somebody else, actually Nigma Dinoi, if he wasn't yet condemned, Machrei Machrer, he can be sold. And in fact, as we learned, now that he's sold, the axe will no longer be subject to stoning because it's under a new ownership. Higdishoi, if somebody was magdashit, it's mugdash. Shachtoi, if somebody shachted it, sarmuta, the meat may be eaten. Hachzir shomer labalef, if it was under the by a shomer and he returns it, it's considered mukhsa, he properly returned it. However, Mishenigma Dinoi, once the Din Torah was paskin, Machre and Machru, you can't sell anymore. Hadish and Mogdish, you can't be Magdish anymore. Shachta, if it was slaughtered, Besar Asar, Hechzir Shomer Lebalef, if the Shami returns it to the owner, Eina Mukhsar. It's not considered returned. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Af Mishanig Medinai, even after the entire was finished, Hechzir Shami Labal of Mukhsar. The Shami could still give it back, and it's considered properly returned. What is the Machlokes? My laugh, Ba'akamuthki. The Yaakov Sover, Omer Bisura No, that even though this is an item which is also Bahano, we could still say, Harei Shalcha Lefanecha. Rabbanan Savri, whereas the Rabbanan hold, Ein Omrim Be'esurei No, Arei Shalcha Lefanecha. Amalei Rava. So Rava disagrees. Loi. The Kula Alma, everybody could agree, the Be'esurei No, we could say, Harei Shalcha Lefanecha. Dim came, because if that were not the case, Nifl Gub Chometz Pesach. Why don't we find that they argue regarding Chometz Pesach? Regarding Chometz Pesach, we don't see any machlokes between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbonim. The fact that there is no machloikis by Chometz Pesach, everybody obviously holds, we could say by Isur Hinoh, Harei Shalchol Fanecha, Ela Merabba. So what is the machloikis between Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabbonim about? Hocha, Begoyim Medina Shalshar Shalai Befon of Kamifagi. Can we finish the Din Torah regarding a Shar even when the owner is not there? Rabbonim Sovereign, we can't have a din Torah without the owner's present, and therefore the owner of the axe could tell the shomer, if you would have brought it to me, have a merigni lagma, I would have hid it away, that Bezdin should not be able to pass on it. Now by you giving over to the Bezdin, I can't hide it, and I'm going to lose my shor. Rav Yaakov on the other hand holds, we don't need the owner, we don't need the shor to be there to have the din Torah. So the Shomer could then tell him, what did I do to you? Soif, have a Gamredin Shlebefonov. The Dintara could have gone on even if the Shar wasn't there. What is the basis why you need to have the basis of this Machlaikis? Because the Pasuk says that when you have a Dintara about a person, the halach is that the person has to be there. Now the question is, do we compare the animal to the person? Just like by a person we have to be there, the animal would have to be there, or not. The Chasam Sofer asks, how could the Gemara suggest that, according to the Rabbanon, that he could have said, if I could have hid away the shor, doesn't the shomer have a responsibility to bring this animal that does hezek to Bezdin, that Bezdin should do what's supposed to be done? Answer to some sofer very bechidish that the only time there's a mitzvah to bring such an animal to Bezdin is by an animal which is hefker. Here we're not referring regarding an animal that's hefker, and there's no mitzvah to bring that type of an animal to Bezdin. Ashkechei Rav Chizdal Rabba Shmuel Amalei Tonis Midi Besura No. Did you learn anything regarding stolen items that became osba no? Amalei in Tanina, I did learn. The pasuk says Vaheshiv is a gzeila. So the question is, Mat Hamaloimer Ashagozel. What does the Torah mean to say by Shagozel? Yachsuk Shen Shagozel. He has to return it the way he stole it. Mikan Omer, Gozel Mat Beva Nifso. Somebody stole a coin and became disqualified. Peris Vekivu, fruits that became rotten. Yain Vechechmetz, wine that became spoiled. Trum of Anitmus. Chometz Oval of Shapesach. Behemah v'nev de ba'aveira, and aveira was done with the behemah, v'sha'a shloish nigma dinoi, oima lo harei shalchal fenecha. Man shamitle. Now who is the Tana? Who is the opinion that said, ashloi nigma dinoi in? That you could only return it before it was nigma dinoi. Mishin nigma dinoi, loi. But once it was nigma dinoi, you can't return it. Rabbonin. It's the Rabbonin. And yet we see here, v'ktani, that they hold, the chometz oval of a Pesach, Oimeloi, you could say Reish Shachol Fanecha, even though it's Isura Hano. Omeloi, Imishkachas Luhu, if you meet the Talmidim, Loi Temel of Loi Midi. Don't tell them anything about this, because they'll be very happy that they were able to find a Brisa that clearly refutes me. Peris Vekivu, if he and there were pears, as we just learned, and they got rotten. That's what the Braisa just said. Ask the Mishnah, but then we learn in our Mishnah, pears for kivu mishalim kishasag zeila. So we have this contradiction. Amra Papa, kanshi kivu kulan. If all the pears became rotten, so he has to be mishalim kishasag zeila. Kanshi kivu miktosin. Only some of the pears got rotten, since as the Rishonim explained, it's normal for some of the fruits to get rotten. That's not considered that there was a significant change, and therefore he could say Hareshel Cholafanechem. Nosan le'umn le'sakin ve'kilkelu. If somebody gave an article to someone to fix and they ruined it, the halach is chayavim l'shalom. They have to pay for the. They have to pay. Nosan le'chorish. If somebody gave a carpenter shita teva migdal sakin, different types of closet boxes to fix for kilkel, and he ruined it, the halach is again chayovim l'shalom, he's responsible to pay. Rabbanoi shekibalov listeris akoysel, if a builder accepted upon himself to demolish a wall, v'shiber ha'avonim ha'ezikim, and he broke the stones or damaged them, chayov l'shalom, he's obligated to pay for it, because it's understood that when he took this job upon himself, that he's going to make sure not to ruin the stones. It was demolishing the wall from one side, and it falls from another side, then the halach is that he's potter, because he had no way of knowing that this would happen. He didn't take this on into consideration, and therefore he's not chayiv. Torah HaShulchan says he's not chayiv because it's considered only a groma ben azokin. However, if machmas amaka, if it fell directly because of the hitting on the wall, then he's chayiv, as the Mefarshim explained, because if it's koich koichoi, if it's not a direct result of your action, then you're potter. But if it's koichoi, if it's a direct result of your action, he's considered a mazik and he's chayiv.